state legislators have passed an overhaul of how schools teach kids to read. It's Thursday, June 22nd. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, more than 150 residents of an affordable housing complex were forced to leave their homes, and they have no idea when they can move back in. And Wisconsin's rural communities will soon see help in paying for road repairs and bridges used by farmers. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
Wisconsin is one step closer to overhauling how schools teach kids to read after a bipartisan literacy education bill passed the Assembly on Wednesday. Anya Van Wagtendonk reports on an approach being adopted in dozens of states.
Lawmakers approved a proposal to move Wisconsin towards a phonics-oriented literacy instruction. That comes after years of declining reading scores. Last year, only a third of Wisconsin third graders were at grade level. Republican Representative Amanda Nedweski of Pleasant Prairie said that a new way of teaching could address those disparities.
It's high time that we partner with public education to consider that the problem might not have been just funding. It might just be that we were simply doing it wrong.
An early version of the plan would have held back third graders not at grade level. The bill now says those students will be put through intensive instruction, including mandatory summer instruction, until they catch up. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
After years of debate, some Madison police officers could soon be outfitted with body-worn cameras. The Common Council could vote later this summer on final approval of a year-long body camera pilot. Alder Charles Miyadze sponsored the resolution, which was introduced to the council on Tuesday night.
I know that new alders just got on board, but this is something since 2015, and we need to keep on moving forward rather than delaying this topic that's been long overweighted.
Some alders have raised concerns about body cameras leading to over-surveillance of residents. Last year, the council gave its preliminary approval to a body camera pilot program, but since then, 9 new alders have joined the council. Residents of a Milwaukee affordable housing complex were forced to leave their apartments in March because of toxic contamination. Evan Casey reports they're now each being offered a $5,000 termination agreement by developers.
More than 150 residents were evacuated because of high levels of trichloroethylene, a cancer-causing chemical. The Wisconsin DNR says the development firm must now perform a cleanup. Residents won't be able to return for several months until more testing shows the site is safe. Matrix Martinez has been living at a hotel since the evacuation. He isn't sure what he'll do next.
It's been 3 months. We've been depressed. I've been having like anxiety and, you know, I've been just stuck.
If residents sign the termination agreement, they won't be able to sue in the future. The developers have been paying for living expenses for residents, but will stop doing so next month. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
When the federal funds, which have stabilized Wisconsin's child care industry, end early next year, the state is at risk of losing more than 2,000 daycare programs. That's according to a new national report. Those child care programs serve more than 87,000 children, and the predicted closures mean parents may have to leave their jobs at a time when Wisconsin is already dealing with a worker shortage. Julie Cashin authored the report for the Century Foundation.
Investing in child care is a win-for-all scenario, and folks that don't want to do that are likely trying to send us backwards.
Governor Tony Evers included $340 million in his budget to stabilize the program, but Republicans cut the funding, saying they're working on another plan to help open more child care centers. Wisconsin's rural communities will soon have more help paying for road improvement projects which benefit farms. Hope Kerwin has more on the new funding program that was signed into law on Wednesday.
Governor Tony Evers celebrated passage of the Agricultural Roads Improvement Program with a signing event at Hamburg Hills Farm in Vernon County. Tim Service and his family have operated the organic dairy farm since the early 1970s. He says a lot has changed in agriculture since his dad started the business, but many of the roads they use haven't been updated.
The tractors have gotten so much bigger and the equipment we pull so much bigger that it's hard on the roads and they have to be fixed, but the dollars aren't there in the local governments.
Last week, the legislature's budget committee approved $150 million for the program. Both the Democratic governor and Republican sponsors of the bill celebrated the funding as an important step toward improving road safety and helping farms be more successful. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, it's been about 1 year since the overturn of Roe v. Wade. We'll take a look at how both Wisconsin anti-abortion and pro-choice advocates are thinking about abortion's future in the state. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, 1 year ago this weekend, the U.S. Supreme Court issued its historic opinion that overturned decades of abortion policy. In Wisconsin, an 1800s-era law took effect, immediately banning abortions in the state. As Bridget Bowden reports, 1 year after the Dobbs decision, things look quite a bit different for Wisconsin on both sides of the issue.
On a recent morning near Madison, Planned Parenthood nurse Heather Ellingson is packing up her car. Every week for the last year, she's made the two-hour drive to the Planned Parenthood clinic in Waukegan, Illinois. It normally takes about 2 hours, except when the weather doesn't cooperate.
During the winter, there were some days where, wow, just the weather was a bit brutal.
For Ellingson, making the trip just makes sense.
Because most of these are our patients. So many people, patients from Wisconsin, we see in Waukegan, and had the Dobbs decision not happened, we would have been seeing them here in Wisconsin.
And recent data from Illinois bears that out. The Planned Parenthood clinics there have seen a 54% increase in abortion patients since last summer, many of them coming from other states. And that means another fixture of abortion clinics is also making the trip, protesters.
And so we came from Wisconsin to Illinois to try to reach out to women who are abortion-minded.
That's Ann Franchek of Milwaukee. She's been protesting at abortion clinics for close to 40 years. Now she comes down twice a week with anti-abortion posters and models of fetuses.
And I put this in a baby stroller to make it more real that these are babies.
Jenny Higgins is a professor of obstetrics and gynecology at UW-Madison and the director of the Collaborative for Reproductive Equity. She says despite all of the people traveling to states where abortion is still legal, the numbers haven't evened out.
What we've seen is while less restrictive states such as Illinois and Minnesota have seen increases in the number of abortions, those increases do not make up for the decreases in restrictive states such as Wisconsin.
It's too soon to know how the ban is affecting birth rates in the state. But Higgins says when abortion clinics in Appleton and Green Bay closed, they went up, and she expects we'll see the same thing now.
So I can say with a lot of certainty that we will expect slight but significant increases in birth rates in the Wisconsin counties that have lost the most access to care.
Although abortion access has been reduced significantly in the state, not much has changed for some Wisconsinites. Before the ban, Wisconsin had 4 abortion clinics located in Madison, Milwaukee, and Sheboygan. Cheryl Thede is the president of the Options Fund, a group that provides financial assistance for abortion seekers in northwestern Wisconsin. They were already helping people get over the border, she says. What's changed is the pressure on out-of-state clinics.
The states where it's legal now are carrying the burden of people from the other states. Mm-hmm. And so there is a little bit more of a lead time with appointments in Minnesota and Illinois as people from Texas and Louisiana and all sorts of states are traveling.
The future of abortion in Wisconsin may come down to the state Supreme Court, which will now have a liberal majority after Milwaukee County Circuit Court Judge Janet Protasiewicz was elected to an open seat in April. Matt Sandy is the legislative director of Pro-Life Wisconsin. He remembers celebrating the Dobbs decision a year ago, but doesn't believe anti-abortion work is done.
Yes, we've been abortion-free for a year. But abortion could be coming back in the near future.
Back in the car, Planned Parenthood nurse Heather Ellingson is also looking toward the future, but she hopes abortion access will be restored.
I was present when we had to close our door, and I would like to be there and swing that door right back open and be like, nope, we are ready, waiting. We are capable. We've kept up our skills and welcome our patients right back the very minute.
It's expected the court could take up the abortion case as soon as August. Bridget Bowden, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Our producers are Mallory Chang and John Davis. Don't forget, you can catch us wherever you get your podcasts every weekday morning. And of course, while you're there, leave us a rating and review. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.